Welcome to the Altus State and Local Tax and Advisory Podcast Series. It's no secret that the Tysons region is going through a period of great transformation, and the organization behind this transformation is the Tysons Partnership. And today we're joined by Megan Trothen, who's the Programs Director at Tysons Partnership, Drew Sunderland, who's the Director of Communications at the Tysons Partnership, as well as Ross Litkenhouse, the Senior Director with Altus Group. And how's everybody doing today?
Doing well.
Doing great, thanks.
Excellent. Well, thanks for joining us. And let's jump right in. We'll throw the first question over to Drew. Drew, please give us a high-level overview of the Tysons Partnership. Tell us a little bit more about your organization.
Absolutely, and thank you again for having us here today. The Tysons Partnership is a membership organization that is made up of the Tysons business civic leaders who are working together with county government to set goals, resolve problems, and craft strategies to transform Tysons into the next great American city. And that's our tagline. We really do believe it. I mean, Tysons is already the 13th largest business district defined by commercial density in the country. We've got five Fortune 500 companies with headquarters in the region, 100,000 jobs, and we see tremendous growth in the next 35 years. And with the lead of the county, the government crafted the strategic redevelopment plan for Tysons, which basically sets a goal of doubling the size of Tysons by 2050, 200,000 jobs and 100,000 residents. And that includes 44 million square feet of new development. And our organization, it is the collaborative platform for the stakeholders, primarily on the private side, to work together to address the challenges that are ahead in a way that is best for all. So, you know, the motto that we follow is a rising tide raises all ships. And it's important to note that many of our members on the board are rival organizations. You know, you've got the Lerner and Macerich owns Tysons Corner Mall, Lerner on the other side of 123. But it was established at an early stage that the two were better off by collaborating, addressing many problems, including transportation, which has been for a long time the main issue that has dogged this region. And we're in our early stages. Like I said, we were established in 2012, but we have grown tremendously in the past 4 years. I will introduce my colleague here as our newest addition, Megan Trothen, who was just brought in about 4 weeks ago now to help us with our new initiative.
Hello, Megan Trothen, and I'm excited to be part of the Tysons Partnership. And so my job is to manage three board subcommittee councils that are focused on priorities that the board has identified in environmental sustainability, developing emerging leaders in Tysons, and our commitment to community responsibility initiatives. And I'll elaborate more on those in a little bit. But yeah, it's great to be part of the team, and those are definite scored goals of the partnership.
That's great. Thanks, Drew, for the background. And Megan, welcome to the team. It's great to have you both today. And let's switch over to Ross. So, Ross, give us some insights as to why Altus Group is a member of the Tysons Partnership and what are the benefits that Altus Group gets out of it?
Yeah, I have to tell you, I mean, a lot of the reasons that we've decided to join the partnership, a lot of the statistics and some of the things that Drew mentioned, just in terms of Tysons' place, you know, being that kind of economic powerhouse, you know, 13th largest office market in the country, which is staggering to a lot of people when you hear that, and we've talked about it in past podcasts. Not to mention the fact that the sheer volume of development that is underway here in Tysons, it's mind blowing, and Tysons has really been affected, you know, negatively in terms of how folks have perceived it as being that kind of place where everybody goes to work. It's traffic congested. It's just kind of out there as kind of the stepchild of D.C. And what it really has needed is that branding component, and that's really what the Tysons Partnership brings to Tysons itself, because the platform is there. All of the development, again, the economic growth, the optimism around how we can be that economic engine, in addition to what you're seeing in D.C. and some of the areas, but what it really needed was that branding component to say, hey, the platform is here. The comprehensive plan has been established. The development is underway. All of the key players are here. And what the Tysons partnership has done has bring all of those key players together and really use the platform that has been there for a number of years to brand Tysons so people, you know, they pay attention, they know that we're here, and they bring that to light so other folks get interested, want to invest, want to relocate, move headquarters, put shovels in the ground. And I think the partnership has done a really, really good job of bringing folks, to the table, and then again branding Tysons in a way that we all we knew existed, even though it may have had that kind of that negative image there in the past. But the last few years has just been such tremendous growth that it's needed something like the Tysons partnership to bring all these players together and then go out there to the market and let people know really what Tysons is all about and get them excited about the future of Tysons.
And just to expand on some of those initiatives, and thank you very much, Ross, those very kind words. But yeah, I mean, one of the major things we do is placemaking, both on a micro and a macro level. And to give you examples of both, in addition to hanging roadway signs and welcome Tysons signs at the various corners of the Tysons boundary, we worked in collaboration with Representative Jerry Connolly to lobby the census last year to update all federal mapping databases to identify the Tysons CBD as Tysons and not Tysons Corner, which means now all maps, both federal and public, in the next 6 months will be updated so that the geographic area that is Tysons is referred to Tysons in all mapping databases. Because as we know, sense of place now is primarily determined by what you see on your cell phone when you geolocate. And then on a more micro level, we also have done a lot of placemaking initiatives to activate spaces that are either in transition or have newly been delivered to market. And a great example, shining example, in fact, is a parcel of land on what will eventually be the borough redevelopment on Greensboro Road that for a long time just was a vacant parking lot. We had one of our board members, Meridian, put down some paint, install some benches and some planters, invite food trucks, and now on a nice day, you'll have somewhere in the realm of 1,000 people show up to the park between the hours of 11 a.m. and 2 or 3 in the afternoon. It's standing in line and soaking in the sun. It really is quite a transformation.
And I will say, and Drew, that's a really good point, because what some of our listeners may not understand is that if you look at a lot of the pockets around greater D.C. where you have seen a true revitalization and just tremendous growth from real estate and economic perspective, it has really taken a grassroots campaign for the people that have a vested interest in that particular market. I mean, you can't just sit back and be passive about, you know, making Tysons this next America, you know, America's next great city and all of the wonderful things that we know that are here that are launching that platform. You really have to get involved. And that's one of the things that we have done. But the most important part, when you look around the region and you see places like Roslyn-Ballston Corridor and even some of the smaller, you know, submarkets and pockets in downtown D.C. where you've seen this tremendous growth, what you have to have is you have to have this galvanizing component that brings folks from the community, whether it's Washington Metropolitan Area Transit Authority, along with government officials like Jerry Connolly, like the families, the Learners, the Peterson Companies, the Macerich, the Meridian Group, the JBGs of the world. You have to have someone bring those people together to the table and get involved and be active, not be passive, because that's really where you get the most benefit. And some of the most successful storylines throughout the Mid-Atlantic, and really you could even look nationally and probably globally, is that you have to have that galvanizing component that gets everybody moving in the same collective direction. And if you want to get involved in that and you want to see that happen, then that's something that you're going to have to, it's full contact, you're going to have to get involved. And that's one of the reasons that we've wanted to be involved in that and help write the story and paint the picture, however you want to describe it, and be along for the ride, because we've got a vested interest here like anybody else. So, you know, you've got that very actionable component where we don't want to sit on the sidelines. We want to be involved, because that's what it's going to take to get Tysons to that level that everyone knows that we can achieve.
Outstanding. Great insights, everybody. And speaking of painting that picture, A lot of that comes down to the great programs and events that the Tysons partnership is planning and currently has underway. So I'll kick it over to Megan. Tell us about some of the things that you have planned event and program-wise.
Absolutely. So I mentioned earlier that the three initiatives that the board's focusing on right now are our sustainability, emerging leaders, and community responsibility initiatives. And so the board has identified delegates from their companies to represent these three councils. And so I'll talk through about sustainability. And from these councils, we have upcoming events that are related to these themes. So the mission of the Sustainability Council is really to fortify a Tysons-wide commitment to sustainable best practices and leverage our collective capacity for environmental responsibility. And so this council is helping different buildings understand best practices for how their building can be either sustainable, you know, facility, and how they can engage their workforce to either volunteer or just help contribute to best practices. And a couple of the companies within Tysons, for example, Freddie Mac and MITRE, have a lot of leading best practices in the country when it comes to their environmental sustainability efforts. And so we're developing a scorecard with these companies for how other companies that want to take on the same initiatives but don't know where to start, how to reduce their energy, their waste, their water consumption, which ends up with contributing to their bottom line expenses. So it's a great selling point for the companies. So there's a community-wide initiative to bring together these best practices, to network with this group. One of the upcoming networking opportunities that the Sustainability Council is leading is the Tysons Sustainability Summit on April 28th, where it'll be hosted at Bank of America's or Capital One's office, and it'll talk about different topics for how to contribute to environmental sustainability within businesses and design practices, whether it's environmental policy, how actually having a sustainable LEED certified building contributes to employee health and wellness, what is the research and technology in this space, and what zero emissions can transition to with the bottom line, topics like that. We also are just trying to turbocharge existing events or call to action days. One upcoming event is on March 19th, and it's called Earth Hour, and it's an initiative that's led by the World Wildlife Fund, and it's for 1 hour that day where they ask everyone to turn off lights for an hour. And this 1 hour happens to be on a Saturday night, where we know a lot of the 100,000 people who work in Tysons may not live in Tysons. So we've spoken with the Tysons Corner Mall, our Macerich friends, and they're going to, because that is probably one of the highest energy usage at that time, they're going to turn off their non-essential lights at the mall for this hour and stand behind this movement. So when opportunities like that happen, we really just want to make sure that this council is talking to the right people and helping leverage efforts. So those are types of sustainability initiatives. And I'll mention one other, which is we're participating in Car Free Day on September 22nd, which is a Thursday, so when people are coming to work. And we're just asking for people to think about alternative ways of coming to work. It doesn't have to mean that they aren't in a car. Perhaps they're carpooling with colleagues, or they're taking the Silver Line in, or biking to work, working remotely, just trying to be creative about the ways that they commute to the office. We were thinking of having it be, what's the bike free day called?
Bike
to work day. We had discussions back and forth on whether bike to work day would work for this population. And we think it's a little premature to have Tysons community all biking here. But that's that can be a goal down the road, especially with the fact that we have the Capital Bike Share Partnership that will be opening in late summer. So those are our sustainability efforts. Another council, the Community Responsibility Council, which is based a similar effort, but a collective engagement in the Tysons community to identify and support Tysons community members and causes in need. And so we are supporting this upcoming event. It's September 10th, and it's a 5K charity run which the donations will go towards Food for Others, a local food bank. And the course will run around the Tysons Mall, and then we'll have sort of an after-party festival-esque theme at the plaza in Tysons. And so we're trying to, and that's on a Saturday morning, we're trying to have people feel a sense of community in Tysons, and especially when we think of the reputation that Tysons has already had of just being a 9-to-5 commuter population, to bring people out on the weekend to have a community effort that supports a local cause and also have some fun activities for the afternoon. Those are the types of things that we think will help build sort of the soul of Tysons and contribute to placemaking. So that's one of the upcoming runs that we'll be hosting. And then finally, the third program that we have are Emerging Leaders Council, which is basically board members have delegates from their companies that they want to engage as the next generation of board leaders. And so this council is really helping us to push forward all the initiatives that we have. And we're taking a lot of focus right now on the marketing and branding of Tysons as a city and how we share this message with other people and really create a buzz around Tysons and put have people talk about it and think about Tysons as a place to live, work, hang out. And, it might be on the back burner for some people who live in D.C. or Arlington is not necessarily a place where they want to come and hang out. But with more people that are generating that buzz, we think that Tysons will be more on the map than it already is.
And just to underscore, again, what Megan was saying, whether an event be shutting off your lights for an hour, 1 hour in the course of a year, or going to an all-day summit. What we're trying to do is we're trying to get people, whether they live here full-time or whether they work here, to recognize their status in the community and feel a sense of ownership and feel as if they are a representative. So something like turning off your light for an hour gets you to realize you're in Tysons, you contribute to the Tysons community, and it's be a representative on our behalf to try to accomplish something big that other communities are doing, have galvanized around, and are doing across the country, and in this case, across the world.
And then fantastic. Just to add on some.
Sorry, go ahead, Megan.
Thanks. Some additional fun events that we have in the pipeline. So we have on June 3rd is the first TEDx Tysons. And we're excited that we're working on this new event, which is just going to talk about the future of Tysons. The CEO of MITRE will be one of the guest speakers. And I know we've been talking to the planning committee, and they said they've had a really difficult time narrowing down the applicants who will speak. I think they received over 700 applications. And they said even narrowing it down from that high level has been a challenge. And so I think that will be an exciting, intelligent conversation about what's happening in Tysons. We also, this summer, Cirque du Soleil is coming to Tysons starting on July 21st. And they were here about 15 years ago, and we're excited to host them again. They have a 5-year contract, so for the next 5 summers, they'll be here. And we think that that will really draw the crowd, especially just coming straight from the Silver Line into Tysons. And experiencing a fun night out. They're going to have 8 shows a week, so it'll definitely generate a lot of traffic or like people coming to the site. Hopefully not bad traffic on the road. So there's a lot of fun events happening. And I don't know, Drew, do you want to talk about the mural unveiling?
Yeah, and part of placemaking, we actually were able to bring in a pretty well-known artist who's been creative director for Ralph Lauren, Louis Vuitton, and several other major labels, who is a true artist who doesn't want to be tied down, which is why he's not currently a creative director anywhere. But his name is Natural. He's actually born and raised in PG County. He's currently painting the retaining wall around the Booz Allen headquarters just outside of the Greensboro Metro. And it's going to be a 130-foot by 30-foot mural that we're hopefully going to extend even further around the rest of the retaining wall, which would, if we're able to pull that off, it would suddenly become not just, a great mural in Tysons, but one of the biggest murals in the country painted by a single artist.
Yeah,
Wow. It's amazing. All of the awesome things that you guys have going on. And thank you for that rundown. It truly is a Tyson's transformation happening, being driven by you all. But let's shift real quick to Ross. And Ross, we might have touched upon this a little bit early on in the interview, but in your opinion, tell us about Tyson's partnership's role in helping promote the region, specifically from a real estate perspective.
Well, it's a great question. I'll let our listeners know that, you know, one of the reasons that that we're focusing on that, our firm here, we spend most of our day working with real estate owners. We are a real estate services group, and so that is near and dear to our heart. And I will tell you, you know, based on what what Drew and Megan have been talking about in terms of all of the things, the it could be the artist piece, the Cirque du Soleil, it's the bike share program, it's the events that they're hosting. What that does is it establishes that sense of permanency, and I know that the Tyson's partnership refers to it as placemaking, but that's just it's another synonym for permanency. And from a real estate perspective, you know, if you look at the dynamics associated with this particular market, and you've heard several of us on this interview talk about typically having being seen as this commuter kind of spot where nobody really lives. They just kind of come here, they work, maybe they experience some of Tyson's, and then they leave. But you're trying to establish that sense of permanency, and that's really what the Tyson's partnership has done, because from a real estate perspective, if you want people to live here, if you want to develop residential, you want to develop condos, you need to give people that sense of permanency, knowing that if they decide to not only work here, but also decide to live here and make it literally a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week experience, you need to give them that sense of permanency. So knowing that they have all of these cultural events, they have all of these cultural amenities, they've got things that they can do outside of work on the weekends, all of those types of things that they just mentioned establish that sense of permanency, and that's why it's incredibly important from a real estate perspective that we have the Tyson's partnership here bringing all of these folks to the table. But I will tell you what's really interesting and gets a lot of us really excited, especially those of us here that work in real estate, that, you know, if you look at a matrices or just an overlay of all of the developments that are under construction or in planning here in the Tyson's market, it is virtually a who's who in terms of the individuals that are involved in bringing those projects to light and out of the ground. And we had talked about, you know, we've name-dropped a bunch of them. And it is virtually a who's who of real estate families, real estate developers and players who have really driven some of the most incredible projects around D.C. as a whole. And they are all invested in Tyson's. So if that tells you anything, that the history of what they've done is an indication of the future, the real estate component of Tyson's kind of leading the charge, saying this is the next great thing. The fact that you have all of those players, and it truly is a who's who of DC real estate and national real estate, have shovels in the ground, pencils to paper, you know, developing these projects, designing these projects, and the partnership's done a phenomenal job of bringing these real estate players to the table. And again, we'd mentioned a whole bunch of these folks, but you got to get them together. They get behind the community, and they want to see succeed. And I can guarantee you, you bring those types of people to the table with that amount of money and that kind of horsepower in terms of real estate development, and it will be an inevitable, unstoppable force in the Tyson's market. So, you know, it's very, very important that the partnership really kind of led in terms of board members, in terms of bringing people to the table. They were really led, in my opinion, maybe Drew and his folks would disagree, but I think it was very thoughtful to say, okay, who are the folks that are technically going to be creating Tyson's as the brand? Well, it's the people that are actually developing the real estate, because that provides the skyline, that provides the canvas, you know, for all of this other stuff to literally be painted on. Bringing all those folks to the table is really what's going to be the driving force and the partnership, if nothing else. And it's, you know, selfishly, that's one of the reasons that we're involved, because it's our clients and prospective clients that are members. But that's what's going to be the driving force. And the partnership led with that, that's a core component. And really, if you look around, if you look at that list of board members and you look at the emerging leaders and some of the other committees that they have, all of those people on that list, in one way or another, touch real estate. And that's really what has been this driving force in the comprehensive plan and that 45 million square feet of development that we've talked about here. So, you know, that's why it's incredibly important, because they're leading the charge through that real estate component and have done a great job of making that a centerpiece, because that's where the dollars are and the effort is being made. And that's truly what's going to drive the development and the brand of Tyson's as a whole.
Awesome. Thanks, Ross. So, Drew, we're going to switch it to you. So we understand that we have a little bit of a scoop here that you're sharing with us on this podcast, which we're very excited about, and also understand you have some updates with regard to transportation. But tell us about the upcoming TSY Go campaign. This is the first time anybody's heard about it.
Yes, yes. Well, TYS Go is a marketing initiative centered around transportation. We actually were able to secure two grants from DRPT, Department of Rail and Transit, centered around one was about developing a trip planner that was unique to Tysons and then marketing that. And also another grant that was focused on subsidizing car share vehicles in Tysons. And so what we did was we took both grants and the marketing allocations within both grants and lumped it together, sort of, you know, Tysons partnership style. You know, it's the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. And we figured that we'd have a bigger, more comprehensive campaign by marketing the two together. And from that sprouted a concept where we create some sort of identifier, TYS, that is a very simple brand. It's just basic. It looks almost like a airport call letter sticker, like, you know, the ubiquitous OBX stickers that people have in the back of their car for like the Outer Banks. Something similar to that, where if you were to incorporate it with your own branding, so if Altus wanted to put its TYS sticker to signal for ship to this community, it wouldn't interfere with their own branding. So that was the core idea around this the TYS campaign. And the way that we're activating it to start is around transportation, which is where TYS Go came from. So basically what we're doing is we're doing this campaign to drive people toward our trip planner that's going to, everyone says, well, why would I use a trip planner? Because I've got Google, I've got Apple Maps. This is going to be able, this trip planner in particular is going to be hyperlocal. We're going to be able to embed proprietary data about, you know, including private shuttles that we have running in the area, including these car share vehicles, and then any other partnerships we make with perhaps like a Uber or a Lyft or Bridge, which is a more or less the Uber of van pooling. So it'll allow us to be a customized data, and then also micro networks for our various employers in the region. So, for instance, if Capital One wanted to have its own network that would facilitate carpooling among its employees, they can do that through this trip. And then also we're going to be using the campaign to help spread the word about our upcoming Capital Bike Share launch, which is going to be at the end of the summer. That's actually a great example of the power of what the partnership can do. We received an innocent phone call in August from one of our members, actually, who owns and operates Ross's building, wanting to know about Capital Bike Share and what can I do to get Capital Bike Share here. And we ran up the ladder. We reached out to the county, and we were told that Capital Bike Share wouldn't be coming to the region, to Fairfax County, rather, for a couple of years at least. We said, fine, given that we have a lot of private sector companies on our board, we've come to realize that we can't just wait on stuff. If there's demand, we have to satisfy that. So we started reaching out to third-party bike share vendors, and we're able to get a deal in principle done with, or discuss a deal in principle with a vendor, and we're getting pretty close to signing. And then all of a sudden, the county, I guess, seeing the market demand for bike share, reapproached us and said that they were willing to try to accelerate the timeline for Capital Bike Share. And 6 months later, we were able to announce a partnership with the county to bring 13 bike share stations to Tysons by early fall of this year. So this campaign is going to be, you know, pretty robust, and it's really going to be about helping people understand that there are options in Tysons. And we're going to continue to add options as they as the opportunity arises. But we want to make it clear to everyone that we're investing a lot of resources and a lot of effort into advocating on behalf of our transit current transit infrastructure and also trying to learn from the community what other options are needed in order to facilitate better connectivity in Tysons.
Outstanding. You know, this has been a wonderful podcast, and we've certainly covered off on quite a lot. Before we sign off today, is there anything else you all would like to add? Anything we may have missed?
Well, I would just like to add, go ahead, Drew, sorry.
I was just going to compliment Ross and all the rest of our members on his as well, because we're very fortunate to have a very proactive membership base. And that's not just with our board members, that's with our non-board members as well. This is a very, very exciting process. We're all building a city together, and it's infectious. And you see people who are probably, if they had to go to their boss and tell them how much time they were devoting to helping the Tysons partnership, they might get in a little trouble. But it's an amazing thing, because it's fun and we're all building something together. And thank you guys so much for hosting this podcast and sharing your excitement with everyone about Tysons.
And just to echo that, the key to building Tysons is collaboration, and it's because of our members that we're able to do this. So it's, you know, echoing the thank you for, you know, being a member and for also so much time and dedication.
I have to say, for all of our listeners, anybody that is not a member and is considering it, I highly recommend it. If for nothing else, these guys throw a mean holiday party. It's been a lot of fun to be part of not only the progression of Tysons, you know, as a city itself, but also having a chance to interact. I mean, you've really got this microcosm of just this really fantastic initiative. And we've loved being members, and highly recommend anybody that has a vested interest in Tysons to join and to get involved, because as they had mentioned, it really is an exciting process, and it's fun to be hands-on and look back, you know, as you, even the baby steps, the milestones, to see the things, you know, stuff coming out of the ground and these initiatives coming to fruition. It's just really been a great experience, so I highly recommend folks, pick up the phone or hop online and dive a little deeper into it and consider joining.
Perfect. What a wonderful way to end this interview. Thank you, everybody. And for all of our listeners, you just heard an exclusive Altus State and Local Tax and Advisory podcast. And this one was really special. We were joined by Megan Trossen, the program's director at Tysons Partnership. She's actually new to her position there. Drew Sunderland, the communications director at Tysons Partnership. And, of course, our own Ross Litkenhouse, the senior director of Altus Group. And everybody, thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks,
Matt. Thank you.